It feels good knowing everybody's chasing me now. I'm chasing the cowboy around.
Woo! Hello, everyone. Welcome to Title 24, presented by NBC Sports. Another great episode for you. Myself, Ricky Carmichael, along with my co-host, Ryan Villopoto, coming at you every single week. Looking forward to what we got in store. We got a great show here today. We got this week's winner in San Diego. Aaron Plessinger is going to be joining us a little bit later. So that's going to be exciting. I think you guys will really enjoy that that talk and interview. But before we get going, definitely got to thank our great sponsors, United Motorsports, Quadlock Case, Dunlop Tires, and Voxo. We appreciate you guys, and they're doing all kinds of fun things throughout the years, giveaways, and we're thank you. We're thankful for you guys. But nevertheless, RV, I'm remote today. I'm going to be coming at you from a couple places, as you will see. But so excuse me to all the viewers and listeners. I don't have my complete setup, but still, it's going to be a great show. RV, you were there this weekend, bro. Yep. And it was exciting. A lot of stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah, there was, man. It's crazy. We typically only see, you know, crummy weather once, twice a year. I mean, and we've had it twice now right out of the gate. We're coming up into, what was it? A2 this weekend. It's kept it very interesting. That's uh-huh. What's so crazy, so hard about winning Supercross and winning, this championship in the end after 17 rounds, because of weekends like the last ones we've had these last two weekends.
Yeah, it's been crazy. So like before we were started recording, it's like I miss Anaheim one, and then it's a mudder at San Francisco, and then it was muddy certainly this weekend. But at least I like this weekend was raceable, which was really cool. So that was exciting. But yeah, I mean, exciting times for sure. A lot of guys that are plenty capable of winning races. We will certainly get into that a little bit later. So a lot to look forward to. But I think I think we just ripped the Band-Aid off on our 450 recap. The United Motorsports moment of the night is Aaron Plessinger. He was so close last year, right? In Detroit, and comes up a couple laps shy. Such an emotional loss. And I mean, he's just a fan favorite, right? The Cowboy.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in our sport that does better interviews than AP, right? So stoked to see him get his very first win. He was close last year. We're just watching replay right now of AP's epic ride, and man, he rode the best out of everybody. I know Coop was kind of, you know, starting to chase him down, run him down. But, you know, in the end, AP was able to stand on top of the podium for the first time in the 450 class.
Yeah. This to me, like, and I want to get your reaction. Does this come as a surprise to you? Like in these conditions, or do you like, is it a surprise at all?
You know, I think, is it a surprise that AP won? I think if it wouldn't, it would have been a surprise if we didn't have his performance that we saw last year. AP was very, very close last year to get in his first win, ended up going down with like two laps to go. Now we saw some conditions that were favored AP. And actually I talked to Kyle Chisholm walking through the tunnel on the way out, going back down to the pits, and he had actually said at a certain time that San Diego might have been even harder to ride than last weekend at
really.
It was really, really sticky. And when I walked down onto the tunnel, all the dirt that was coming out on into the tunnel, it was like Play-Doh.
Really.
So I think between the slippery when it was very slippery, but also that sticky material, I think it was definitely a tough situation, and it played into AP's favor. He rode phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he's having a phenomenal season. This is the best that he's ever been. He's strung it along, and I've said in the past, I always felt like if AP could get to a mindset to where he was when he's having all that success in the 250 class, I think he'll be able to reach his true potential in the premier class. And I feel like that's where he's at this year. He's been pretty outspoken, like in the off season, about how comfortable he is on the bike. And because he was comfortable in the off season RV, he was able to just put in laps. And you know how that is. He was able to go in, put in a ton of laps, work on some things like his technique, rather than just going out on the motorcycle and every time you're on it, you're testing it, you're changing crap. You know how that is. So, and I think what we're seeing is a reaction from that, where he can go out there and he's actually riding his motorcycle and he's not wondering how it's working, like he has been in the past. And dude, I mean, you know how hard it is. And we talked about it on the broadcast a little bit. When you dig yourself a hole in the premier class, the 450 class, I personally feel it's much, much harder to claw your way out of that hole compared to the 250 class. And so this is what I really respect and appreciate about Aaron Plessinger, is he's doing that. You know, you're seeing him do that. Dude, he's been down for a couple of years, especially those first couple of years at Yamaha when he switched to the 450. It was less than ideal, as you know.
Yes, it's definitely been a long time coming for him. You know, coming off of the 250 class, and is, you know, championships and race wins, and you know, really being a dominant player in the 250 class, coming to the 450. Yeah, he's had a rough four. I'd probably say a rough 4 years ish, right? Yeah. So it's good to see him back up on top. You know. And hopefully keep this rolling. I think for him, man, if he can just put himself in a position of being in the top five every single gate drop, that's what AP and Mike, in my opinion, really needs to focus on, putting himself, because the guy's got the speed, he's got the talent. He needs to put himself at the beginning of the race when the gate drops up front in the top five with those top five guys and stay with them. And I think you can see him on the podium much more and in this championship fight towards the end of the series.
Shows you how good of a guy, too, when we're seeing that tape of all his competitors in the sportsmanship coming up. They're just so amped for him. A lot different than back in your and I's day. That's for sure. But, dude, he's a cool guy. It's like, how do you not like the guy? So, you know what? We're gonna hear from him, and he can tell us what about that journey. I'm so excited to have him on in the show, and it's going to be cool to hear his reaction. So that's our United Motorsports moment of the night. If you haven't been to United Motorsports, remember they got 6 locations throughout Kentucky and Ohio. You can go in store. They got all the products that you will ever need. Online presence is insane also. So we appreciate you, United Motorsports. Make sure you sign up. Remember, they're giving cash back for first-time signups, and they'll be giving away gifts throughout the season. Money gifts as well. So we appreciate you guys. Moving along to Chase Sexton, a less than stellar night. I mean, you talk about a roller coaster. You know, he's third on the opening round. And last week he wins. You're like, oh, man. And when the track was dry on that warm-up practice, mm-hmm. I thought he was off myself personally. Like, he didn't have that speed that I was anticipating him to have. Maybe he was just laying low because he knew it didn't matter. But nevertheless, he was just like non-factor as far as results go. But I got to ask you, RV, what do you think about what happened with him and Coop colliding as he was going a lap down?
Yeah, I mean, look, we all got to see it on the broadcast. And also Chase had made a post about, here, we're watching the replay right now, Coop and Chase coming together. I don't think he did anything intentional. There he goes. He lets him by, gives him the inside.
Did you see? You like how Coop was waving? So here you go. Break it down.
Yeah. So Coop goes up to the inside. They just get together a little bit in that main line. It looked like to me it was it's a narrow section. There was muddy on the right, muddy on the left, and they come together, right? So yeah, as Coop throws his hand up, you know, not stoked.
No.
And nobody would be stoked in that position, right? It's like, hey, be aware of your surroundings. I don't think it would have changed the outcome. Chase came back, did a post about that, said, hey, it was nothing intentional. You know, I was going a lap down, and he had said he wasn't even in the game with those guys. So just unfortunate situation. You know, you're gonna have those situations every now and then when you have tracks like that we had at San Diego, that, you know, the main line is only a couple feet wide. And it was a bummer, you know, but, like I said,
you're giving Sexton a pass on this one.
I'm going to give him a pass. Yeah. I mean, I think I haven't, you know, heard anything from Coop exactly that, you know, he was super, super upset about that. I'm sure he wasn't stoked about it currently, you know, when we're watching the replay and when it went down. but I'm going to chalk it up as a racing incident.
You want to, we got some sound actually. Yeah, from Coop. So let's roll that sound and see what the two-time Supercross champ has to say.
Two to go. From my perspective, I felt like the one got out of AP's way and then charged forward to not be out of my way, is my personal opinion. And we hit and we both bout went down. And so I was a little bummed on that, but it is what it is. And, you know, I was getting lapped last weekend and felt like I was pretty respectful. So, you know, it'll come around, but it's tough when you're in that position. You don't want to be getting lapped any means. But just got to respect the leaders.
Ooh. Yeah. I take back what I just said.
Hey, let's go back and our producer, let's roll that slow-mo again. And if we can, I don't know if we have the ability to freeze it, but right at the top, when Chase is at the top, can we write like right there? Okay. And he knows that Coop is behind him. He knows that. I mean, I would assume, champion himself, you're aware of your surroundings. So I feel like right there, I feel like he should have given way or even perhaps let the dude by coming down that straightaway. Like he had nothing to gain. Right, he wasn't going to lose a position. I'm talking about Chase here. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to lose a position. He was where he was. It was only a couple laps left, and that was a critical time. Like I feel in the race, and you know how this is. You've been in this situation several times. It's like he was Cooper was making up some serious time on AP, and he was. You get to these breaking points in a race for everyone like listening and watching. There's moments in races where you can get over that hump and breaking points to where you're like, okay, I got the win in the bag, and if you don't get over that hump or break through that point, you don't win. And I feel like that was that moment
That was that moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, I could say that Cooper wasn't, I mean, really, he should have gave away on the straightaway coming into the turn, right? But Coop wasn't close enough. So then Chase goes to the outside. And then the other thing is on that, Coop kind of, I don't want to say rushed, but really came in there. And on one hand, those ruts do come together. Yeah, so should have Coop give him a little bit of space. And then, you know, at that point, when they both roll over that rhythm section, that 3-5-3, then Chase can give way and then Coop takes up the inside on the next turn. Ultimately it is Chase's fault. But I don't think Coop was close enough after the finish line when they made that right-hander into that double-double or double-single that there to give way right there. He wasn't close enough. So come together in the turn. You know,
They should have been like this going into the corner rather than like this.
Exactly. Right? So I don't see – understand the frustration from Cooper 100%, but I also – it wasn't close enough to give way before the turn, and I feel like at that point you're not going to go through the guy. Give the guy a little bit of space, and then he's going to break for you, and you're going to take the inside, and then that mistake would have been avoided, hopefully.
Right. I'm kind of jumping around on our on our rundown today, just because the Lawrence Anderson piece is going to chew up some time. But before we get to that, some notables: JB, hell of a Justin Barcia, heck of a finish. P3, great to see him do so well. He was fast all night long, and he was right there lurking the whole time. One little slip up from the boys, and heck, he might have been first. But he did great.
And I think that's a good position for Justin. I know he is a fair bit of a confidence rider, right? I think that really helps him. So to knock that first podium down of the year for himself and Gas, we're going to see some strong performances from Justin. I think coming up as we kind of conclude of our West Coast swing here, and then we're going to start to head east here soon.
Yeah, I think he's I'm with you on that. I think he's going to continue to get better. I mean, look how much better he was this past weekend in San Diego because he wasn't sick. And he said it on the podium that he looks forward to getting stronger and stronger. And he's getting close. The Boxo breakdown of the week. If you haven't checked out Voxo, make sure you go check them out, voxousa.com. And their lifetime warranty is awesome. I'm going there later on this afternoon. I'm going to go to the headquarters and check it out. They're in a new office, but just a great company. And make sure you go by the Monster Energy Star Yamaha Racing Team. They are all set up, and you can see their stuff live in the flesh. So the Voxo breakdown this week, an out-of-pocket mistake by Ken Roczen. Rarely do you see Kenny make these kind of slip ups.
Yes. I thought Ken would have, without that mistake, would have stayed where he was. I know that it had closed up AP. I thought Ken could have made a rebound and stayed in that position and potentially won his first of the year. You know, Kenny in those conditions, the way he rides, I know you worked with him. He's pretty, very fluent. Yeah. You know, I thought he was looking really, really good. And then look, he comes into the pits, and that's something that's never a good sign to see. Yeah. Coming in the pits.
That was crazy. That was, I was not expecting that. I thought he was going to have his hands full for sure with AP because he wasn't breaking AP. And Kenny is so good those first five laps. He's so explosive. And another place where Kenny is really good is if you make a move on him, he's so good at trying passing you back also. So, and AP was able to keep with him early. So I still think he would have had a great shot of winning. But just from that crash, yeah, I mean, if we're breaking down the wreck, I think that maybe his front wheel wasn't completely in the rut.
Yep.
And he kind of cross rutted. So front wheel was on the left side of the rut and rear tire was in the rut, and he just spins a little bit. And
yeah. Interesting. When it caught the 5-footer on the top, it was almost like a pogo stick, and it, you know, snapped back and the bike shot out from underneath of him. Cross rutted, looks like the same thing, exactly what you said. Front was out of it. And the rear tire was kind of climbing also up the inside of that rut right there. You can see it at the last second, and goes down. So,
costly mistake. Yeah, it is. It is. But, Kenny, as we know, is, he shines on so many levels, so many conditions, but that, especially those conditions. I think that the reason Kenny he shines in the conditions that we're at San Diego is because he has incredible throttle control. So hated that for Kenny. Would love to see him get a win here at Anaheim too. Some more issues for Eli Tomac on the Voxo breakdown. Really just kind of went sideways for him right there at the beginning of the race. He tangles with Christian Craig, and I don't know, what do you see right here, RV?
Yeah, it looked like, I mean, I know his clutch lever was up, lots of dirt on there. Tough. I mean, we have some pretty big name. We have Eli, we have Kenny, you know, some of these guys that you would expect to do. I don't say expect to do better, excuse me, but struggled. I mean, the last two weekends have been tough, for a lot of these guys. So definitely needs to rebound. You know, we need to see some rebound from a few of these guys to keep this points chase close.
Yeah, the older guys. It's crazy too. That the older guys where you would expect kind of like what you were saying to shine in conditions like that. They've had some unfortunate luck. So let's stick with this for a second. You can see the points. So you look at Anderson, Cooper, Aranis, Tomac, Ken. That's I think everyone needs to keep their eye on that gap right there. Those are some really good racers that are going to have to make some moves. I expect them to march up the field just because of the experience that they have. Like what is your eye on? Are you surprised they're that far back this early or what?
Yeah. Like, you know, I think that, right now the one that's on the bubble for me is Ken, right? He's, we have Aaron AP with 60 and we have Ken with, you know, that's 18 down. So 18 down is getting up there, you know, like Eli with 12, you know, he's down 12 points. Okay. That's, I feel like where we're at, we're only three races in, coming up on our fourth. that's a manageable number, 12 down. But 18, you're starting to creep up there near the 20s, you know, that's right. hard to rebound from, you know, so especially with the field we have. So, you know, with Kenny needs to get up there, get himself on the podium, and in hopes that, you know, we're going to have some other guys falter where the points are going to kind of, you know, have a swing again and get him back in the mix.
This next little section right here, this is a hot topic for sure. And I was kind of trolling social media yesterday, but, for the Dunlop Tires, due diligence, I tried to do my due diligence yesterday, reach out to a couple people, didn't really get the answers that I was looking for. I could tell that they were tiptoeing, of their thoughts and their knowledge of what happened with the Jet and Anderson deal. But let's talk about it, RV. I would love to hear what you have to say. And your reaction to this was Jet out of line. You can see at the top of your screen right now, you know, he pulls Anderson over to start with, wants to have a conversation with him. And I can only speculate that he was just frustrated at of how Anderson was blocking him, if you will. So,
yeah, I mean, look,
I want to hear your hot take, brother.
Well, my hot take is Jason did ride a majorly wide bike, right? We watched it. It was on the broadcast, the split screen.
Here you go.
Jet was having major problems get around him. And part of that was the track being one line. Jet was quicker than Jason, but also too, part of that, you know, that's part of the game. If Jason can keep this, manage this race and keep him behind him, he's not just going to let him by. But ultimately, he did end up letting him by in this turn, but a different lap. He went up to the top of the berm and Jet was able to go around him. Jet was trying multiple lines, but as you see, the track's slippery. It is one line. If it would have been a typical dry supercross, I think Jet would have made his way right through, right around Anderson. But with these conditions, it made it very tough. So the frustration, so Jet being totally frustrated, I could totally understand that. And yes, Jet pulled him over to talk to him. And from my visual right here, here's where Jason kind of went up, let him by, in my opinion, let him by, you know, he could have gone to the inside line. There's nobody, nobody was there. So right there, I feel he let him by. And then Jet comes up, kind of stuffs him up to the top of the bales. I don't see anything wrong there. I think that as the whole battle went, it was very frustrating for Jet. And I think that's what we saw at the end of when pulling over, wanting to talk. But what I take from the altercation was, you know, Jason, to me, looked like he was done with the conversation and ready to leave. And Jet grabbed his chin bar on the helmet. You know, like give it a second. They're talking, they're discussing. And then right here, Jason, I feel like it's going to ride away. Right. And then Jet grabs his chin bar and then it goes. So,
this open season then, right?
Exactly. I think that, you know, you have a 20-year-old, you know, arguing with, a 30-year-old, 32-year-old.
Oh, yeah, he went to take off.
A much older, you know, and I don't think, yes, I think Jet overreacted. They were fighting for four positions on the track, regardless of Jason holding him up or not. He wasn't cross jumping him. He wasn't doing anything. He was riding slower than Jet and Jet couldn't get around him. Jet tried multiple. I think Jet gave up. Jet was trying to pass him everywhere on the track. So Jason could, you know, eventually he gave up. I was like, you know, his faster spots on the track or the spots where he potentially could have passed. Jason knew it was coming because Jet was trying every section of the racetrack. He didn't specifically wait for him and sit behind him and then pounce on him and try to just make a quick move. I thought he, you know, watching, he just looked like he was coming up. I'm going to try to pass here. And Jason would shut him down everywhere. And partly because, like I said, track was one line. Track was a lot of tight 180s.
Yep.
Tough track to pass on, even in the dry, probably.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't escape. Yeah. Like for sure, if it was dry, and I talked about it a little bit on the Yamaha track map, the breakdown, and I used a Telestrator, like I always feel like those perimeter lanes are, for the most part, they're one lined, right, on dry, because you're rarely going to mess up on the rhythm sections. So you just run that, perimeter line, and everyone fades to the inside on the 90s. So it actually ended up working out in the race's favor, that it wasn't one line and it was muddy, because guys were messing up in the rhythm section. So there was a lot of passing, and it was reverse, where I thought that the passes were going to happen on all those 180s. If it was dry, a lot of the passing, I feel like, happened on the rhythm lanes or the whoops, where guys were messing up. But again, watching this, and my two cents after being able to watch multiple clips of it, I think for sure that that Jet was, he was a little over anxious here. Jason didn't do anything wrong whatsoever. I would have done the exact same thing. I mean, and you never know. Maybe, like, I've done this millions of times, not millions of times, but multiple times, RV, when I'm like pumped up and I'm struggling and it's conditions like that, dude, I'm just going to ride the main line and I'm going to block you a little bit. And
yep.
I'm just going to ride my speed, even though it's slower, and you're going to have to find a way to get around me. But I am going to hog up the main line.
100%. Exactly. And that's what, you know,
that's all he was doing.
Exactly. And I think the reaction was, I think I read somewhere where it was, Jet said, hey, mistake on my part, So
yeah.
I do know that they both got a little bit of a fine.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Right, here we go. Tonight, I let my emotions get the better of me. I let myself down in the heat of the moment. I'll learn from this, and my apologies to El Hombre. It was on me. I'll pay your fine, AMA Supercross. Send me the invoice. And per your request, free passes to the free fan zone the season. Sorry, mate. So, I think that, honestly, I think I don't think they should have reprimanded Jason. I think he was reacting to obviously what Jet did. Nothing crazy. But yeah, I think that, and shit, it's $1,000. Come on. What's that going to do?
That's a lot of money for some people, man.
Yeah, well, not these guys.
Right? I mean, you could fill up that gas in the boat or something, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
Cold beers or Monsters, whatever.
You got to put that premium 93 in that Rolls Royce, baby.
The premium. That's right. Oh, dude, I love that. I love that. Well, like I said, I go back. Yeah, I think that Jet said it perfectly. I love the interaction and him doing basically taking personal responsibility. He definitely let he let his emotions get to him. And I think he's learning, like in the 450 class, guys are going to do that. I don't think Anderson did anything wrong.
No.
It was for position. He wasn't being lapped. And you know what? If he wasn't feeling comfortable, he wasn't feeling comfortable and he wasn't riding the pace that Jet was trying to ride, then Jet needs to find a way to get by. And those conditions are super tough to get by. You talked about it, like there's virtually nowhere to pass. So it is what it is. If you don't like it, get the whole shot.
Yep. And RC, look, I made a point of going to mention this on today's show Jet is not dealing with the lights or the 250 class anymore, where he was pretty much leaps and bounds better than everybody. Bad start, a fall, a tip over. He could manage the race. A lot of times he'd come back and win the race. This is a different ball game. And this is, I think, what I don't want to put words in his mouth, but probably something they're all realizing as in the 450 class, that, dude, it's not the 250 class. It's 17 rounds. A lot of these guys they're a lot better. So how Jet's going to manage the rest of the series. He's still, in my opinion, if not the best guy, one of the best guys. I think you're going to see lots of race wins coming from him throughout this year. But what I see is the gap has closed. A lot of the 450 guys are closer to him. This is Supercross. It's not like outdoors where these littler mistakes you can come back from. When you make little mistakes, as you know, in Supercross, a bad start, just a bad start alone without any other mistakes on the track could cost you the win in the 450 class in Supercross. I think that's what we're seeing, that the 450 class is much much deeper, a lot more stacked. The guys are better racers. And you know, yes, Jet 1, Anaheim 1. And we've had two mediocre races the last two weekends, not typical mud races. And it's just, it's a tougher situation is what I think.
It's a premier class of SMX, Supercross, Motocross. It's the best of the best. And what people, I want people to understand or realize if you haven't considered this, is think of the people that he's racing against, like what RV was talking about, you know, like, okay, Jason Anderson, he is a multi-time 250 champion. He's a Supercross 450 champion. Let's see here. Ken Roczen, he's a 450 MX champ. He's a multiple 450 Supercross winner. He's won regional Supercrosses, I believe. Eli Tomac, he is a 250 champion. He is a multi-time 450 champion. I mean, you go down the list. Even the guys that he's racing and battling with that don't have 450 championships, majority of them have 250 championships. So they're all it's just stacked. So
and to your point is from seventh on up, you're right. From seventh, which is Eli sitting seventh right now, he's got a total points of 48. Dylan's sitting sixth with 49. Cooper sitting fifth with 49. Yeah. Jason sitting fourth with 49. And then who we're talking about is Jason and Jet, 49 versus 56. Jet with 56. So very very close points race between all those guys. So you know, they're all going to fight you tooth and nail. If that means riding slower around the track, hogging up the entire track, and you can't get around, that's the game they're going to play that night. And that's what Jason did. Jason looked like afterwards, you know, when he did get run up high and kind of like let Jet by per se, if you want to call it that, it looked like, hey, I gave you my fight. I fought tooth and nail. Here it is. Take the position. I'm, you know, arm pumped, tired, whatever the case may be. Why he did that, don't really know. Other than he was going to drop in behind him.
Yeah. Could be interesting to see. I think they'll move on. I feel like, El Hombre made a post yesterday, having fun. I love it. Like something like great combo or whatever, and tag Jets and look at Jets looking back, throwing his hand up, and little stuff like this is like for Jet, as you know, RV. He's young.
Ricky, to be honest, like to see that after the race. Now, I don't want to see fists thrown and we have this fight because we're way more professional than that. But I like to see the emotion that we get out of these two right here. It's our sport is gnarly and there is bar banging and this is part of it. Emotions get high and we see it happening right now with Jet and Jason. So I actually think it adds another element to our racing. And it makes our Jason fans, our Anderson fans are stoked and our Hunter or our Jet and Jet Lawrence fans are stoked on seeing this. Right. So
I
like seeing this. It's emotion involved. This is, it's very, very high. And I do think in a way it is good to show those emotions and have them come out every now and then.
I agree. 250 recap, heck of a win for Nate Thrasher. Garrett Marchbanks gets absolutely hosed. I don't think that the lapper, I can't remember who the lapper was. But this doesn't come as a surprise. Nate Thrasher, plenty capable of winning. The guy's in incredible shape. I had an opportunity to ride with that whole Monster Energy Star Racing Yamaha team, on a bike ride in the off season. And that dude is fit, bro. So that doesn't surprise me. He's had a rough go at it. Remember, he went down at Anaheim, won the opening round, and then had a horrible race last week. So to come back and win, so not surprising. I think maybe he'll get some momentum going for sure. What was the biggest notables for you in the 250 that you want to break down for?
I love the guy, but RJ, man, RJ.
Yep.
RJ kind of, man, he blew it. He was right there. He had himself in a good position. He wasn't going to win the event. He just pulled the whole shot here around, got around the first turn there, but some mistakes cost him drastically and very dearly. There was another mistake coming into the whoop section. And then mm-hmm. we got Garrett was able to get past him, but the big kicker, man, was the basically two turns from the finish line when he went down. We're watching it right now. He lands on the outside and just lands where it was slippery, goes high sides, basically throws him off the bike. And that was super costly right there. Really costly for him.
Well, yeah, he went from a possible podium to way off the podium. I think what he lost from that point, he lost what, four positions maybe?
Yeah, he ended up sixth. He ended up three sixth minutes. On the night. Yeah,
two or three. It's just like little stuff like that, to your point. And I hate, listen, I'm an RJ fan, love what he's about. He did a lot with a little as a young kid. And so I respect that. I respect the hustle and I respect the toughness. To get over what he's doing, though, he has to be more aware. He has to anticipate, like what happened there on the last lap before the mechanics area.
Yep.
And you can't. You just have to anticipate and know what's going to happen when you go getting that loose stuff and grab a handful of throttle. Like, it's always situations like that, 9 times out of 10. So there's no two ways about it. He's got to fix that. If he doesn't fix that, the same thing's going to happen all the time.
Yeah, and then pretty soon, you know, he's going to lose too many valuable points. And as we know, it could be a very close points race coming down. Yeah. You got Jordan Smith with 67, Levi Kitchen down 8.
Joe's out. Down Joe's 10. Out.
Yep, Joe sitting down 31 out. You know, those are huge ladders to start to climb. You know, we have, like, Levi still in the chase. Garrett 10 down and RJ 13. You know, RJ really needs to keep that, you know, that minus 13 points down. We really need these next couple rounds, he needs to get that thing up within five points.
100%. And it needs to start this weekend in Anaheim, because then they have a week break.
Yep.
Right. And then after this week, their season's almost halfway done. Now, remember, this weekend is a Triple Crown race. So,
which is going to throw some big wrenches in that, right? You know,
it is
multiple
it
gate
is.
Drops. I've always said multiple gate drops are always tough, because anything can happen. But you also can rebound from those multiple gate drops. You know, if you blow the start and the one main event start, that's a bummer. But now you have something to come back and have some redemption on.
I know. I'm a massive fan of the Triple Crown. I know it's more starts. You know, it's one more start than what they would normally do. So there's that. But the abbreviated races, what are they like, 10 minutes plus one lap, something like that. Yep. I mean, all those guys can haul the mail for 10 minutes plus one lap. So you don't have the late race fatigue and they're not vapored as much. So I love it. That's why I love it. You get to see the best guys in the world face off against each other 3 times in both classes. It's going to be epic. Also, you know, I like to see which guys in the 250 class who can manage these races the best. You know, there's that element too in the Triple Crown. So before we get to the NBC promo, the quad lock question of the week. And I had a conversation with this gentleman. He actually pulled me aside. I was going out to check the track out. And it's Corey at Dirtworks. He is an avid fan and listener of Title 24. And he asked me, he said, hey, how can I get some quad lock stuff? JH was supposed to hook me up and he won't get back to me. So,
come on, Curly.
Yeah. Curly's dropping the ball. So Corey, guess what, dude, you win the quad lock question of the week. Now you will get your product. And I want to see that, quad lock, the mount put on
in the dozer.
Yeah. In the dozer, whatever it might be. So when you get your product, I want you to display it. I want you to take a picture and show us how you're using it in the heavy equipment. But you've been doing a great job, crap conditions, pushing around mud. Appreciate you, Corey. Corey asks, 3 winners in 3 rounds. Who are the next 3 winners? ? Eli? ? Webb? ? Kenny? Anyone else? Take it away, RV.
Yeah, I think Coop's due for a win here. I think if I'm a betting man, if I'm going out on a limb right now and happen to pick somebody, I think Coop's due for a win. He hasn't started, like we talked about before, after our first show, after Anaheim 1. that was a really, really strong performance from Coop coming out of Anaheim 1. Normally starts off a bit slow. So I'm saying, and then also his ride here at San Diego, really closing in on AP towards the end there, in tough conditions like we've talked. So I'm expecting Coop to be the next guy on the top of the step here. He's been riding really well. Uh-huh. The Yamaha looks like it's been working really well for him. And he's showing a lot of, even when I was there, you know, I was up in the TV booth with you watching the race, and he's showing a lot of you know, sprint speed. He's pushing to me more than I've seen him push in a while. Normally you see when Coop gets on a roll, you see the amazing riding that he can do. It's normally kind of coming through the pack. It's not this early in the season. What I'm seeing is some really good things from Coop, you know, in these last three rounds.
So you think, I mean, he looks awesome. I think he has the eye of the tiger. I think he's one of the top championship contenders, for sure, because of what you said. Dude looks like he's got his stuff together. He looks fit. He's lost some weight. Looking a little bit more chiseled, which I always think's help. I always think it helps for sure. And he is so savvy. He looks good. I think he's going to be great in the Triple Crown. And the reason that I say that is because he is great at managing those races. I believe out of the three guys that Corey talked about, Kenny, Eli, and Cooper, as like through last year, Eli had the best record in the Triple Crowns. I know things are different, but Eli's capable of winning also. But I think I second what you say, RV, is I think that Coop is in the best position to win. The first guy to get a win out of those three guys. I think Kenny is a close second for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, Eli with his heat race victory, this at San Diego, I think that was a good confidence booster for him. Tough conditions, like we talked about, you know, dragging your feet and, you know, being that it was a Achilles injury down there by your foot. So, he was looking strong too. So, I'm going to say it's going to be Coop. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was Eli and Kenny yep. right there, like you said.
Yeah, totally.
It's close third too. So
totally. Corey, good question, my man. You know what? I would tell you like we normally do with all of our listeners and viewers, slide into the DM, but you know what? Slap Curly around and say, give me my product, my Quadlock case product. If you haven't checked out quadlockcase.com, go check them out. They got great stuff. Anything that you're ever going to need. Like I said, the charge is good. They got a little magnet wallet that goes on the back for your case as well. And then, of course, the mounts, whether you're in a bulldozer, you're in a skid steer, whether you're driving a UTV or adventure bike, whatever, mountain bikes, they got you dialed. Just go check out their their website. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. That's it for the quad lock question. Big weekend in motorsports for NBC. Got a little promo. There you go. IMSA back on it. The Michelin Pilot Challenge on Peacock. That's Friday, 1:45 p.m. Eastern time. Then Saturday, 1:30, the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Championship. Opening hours of the Rolex, 24 hours. Lee Diffie is going to be on the race call. That is going to be a long race at Daytona International Speedway. Again, that starts at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Race day live, as you guys know, starts 3 p.m. Eastern. Practice and qualifying, that's on Peacock. And then the Super Motocross World Championship at Anaheim, again, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I love that time slot. It'll be live on Peacock Sunday. The WeatherTech Championship Rolex 24 continues 6 a.m. on the USA Network, continuing on through NBC from 12 p.m. Eastern time, the conclusion of the 24 hours, Rolex 24 hours at Daytona will be live on NBC. Make sure you check that out. I know for sure that I will be, I'll be flying home. So I'll be checked in, listening to the boys, TB, Townsend Bell, and the other guys that are, well, actually, I don't know if Townsend's going to be on that broadcast, but Lee Diffie will be on there. So some fun stuff. Make sure you check out SMX Insiders, obviously, also too, with Weege and JT. That's every Thursday. RV, we got a special we got a special guest. The time has come that we get to introduce first time 450 winner. Just this past weekend, right up his wheelhouse with the conditions. Not a total quagmire, but a rideable, raceable racetrack. And it's Red Bull KTM's Aaron Plessinger.
Oh man, I feel like a college football coach right now. Everybody rushing over to me, like in the middle at the end of the game. But oh man, it felt great. It felt like it should, I guess.
You have the points lead, so that doesn't happen by accident. That doesn't happen the result of one race. So how does it feel to know that you're in this thing for the championship? You're leading the way.
It feels good knowing everybody's chasing me now, chasing the cowboy around.
The man, welcome to the show, Aaron Plessinger. You're coming off your first premier 450 Supercross win, bud. And I just got to say, we got to say, myself and RV, congratulations, my friend.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me on, boys. I appreciate it. It's, yeah, it feels good, man.
Hey, a long time waiting for sure. And we were talking a little earlier. And, dude, you had an incredible 250 career, right? I mean, you and I have talked about it when you were living in Tally for a while. And, you know, and I had always thought that if you could get back to where you are right now, that, man, things will start to go well for you. And I feel like that's kind of where you're at. I feel like, you know how to win. You know how to ride. And I feel like you are riding as well as you ever have, like you did when you're winning all those races and championships in that 250 class, dude.
Yeah, man. I like I've been saying to everybody, I like this year was one of the most solid off seasons that I've had ever, and that is like one of the most important parts. Like usually I'm, you know, battling an injury from prior seasons or, you know, crashing in the off season or whatever, and only getting like a month on the bike. This time, you know, I only had like 2 weeks off of training, but I honestly think that helped me coming into the off season and not having that time to let my body, you know, relax and get all, you know, fat on the cheeseburgers and stuff. But yeah, I just kept in really good shape, and I think that helped coming into the riding, and then obviously the changes to the bike that the boys made out here, and it was just such a smooth transition. Just coming from off season into the race season, and I knew I was going to be good. I just didn't know I was going to be, you know, winning races this soon.
Yeah, AP. Well, congrats. It was good to see you knock that first one, get that one in the record books. You know, so is your motorcycle far from last year's motorcycle, or are you on pretty much the same platform as last year, and you just had lots of time to prep yourself and get up to speed and fitness?
Yeah. So I believe from last year there is some major changes. Obviously, I think we were still in the 52 fork last year in Supercross, and obviously we got the new frame. And other than that, I don't think too much is different. But those are major changes, obviously. And yeah, I think just with both of those changes, it took so much rigidity out of the bike. And last year I felt like I was, you know, going through the corners, feeling every single bump and going through the whoops, and, you know, off of the whoops, just kind of hitting straight up and down. It seems like with this setup, I can run what I want to and not have to have the bike, you know, stink bugged. I can have it low in the rear and stiff in the front like I like it, and I can maneuver the bike the way I want to, and it drives off of the whoops and drives pretty much everywhere. I have so much more traction with this package. It's actually crazy how different it feels from last year's bike.
Wow. Wow, that's good to hear.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's good stuff. Coming into San Diego, AP, walk us through your feeling, and was there a certain time in the race or a certain time in the day whatsoever that you thought, like, I mean, you obviously want to win all the races that you enter, but was there ever a moment within the day or that main event especially where you were like, dude, this is for real, and I'm going to get this thing tonight? Was it like, myself personally, I thought like when you reeled Kenny in, like for me speaking, that would have been enough affirmation and confidence to be like, tonight's my night. Like, what was that? Was there a moment for you that was like that for the night?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you it definitely wasn't during time qualifying. because I, yeah, it, qualifying 13th. Yeah, I don't know. We won't talk about practice, but yeah, it was probably when I did reel Kenny in that heat race, and I passed him, and then he passed me back, and then I, mm-hmm. yeah, it was just battling. And I know Kenny likes to do that, you know. He likes to get in your head by passing you right back, and it usually mm-hmm. works on me. And I knew exactly when he went to the left of the whoops, I was like, that side's nasty. And I had a really, really good line through him, and I just made it work. and it seems like they couldn't really get around the track as well as I could. And that, to me, gave me the most confidence. And I knew it was going to be a little bit more dry, but in the main event, but I knew it was also not going to be perfect. And that's what I like about it, and that's what I like about those conditions, is you can still ride hard, but you got to watch, and it can really bite you like it did Kenny in the main event. And it's kind of, you just got to be smooth and really pick your lines, like mm-hmm. smart. But yeah, when I reeled in Kenny in that heat race, it gave me a boost of confidence that I think carried on throughout the night.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot like, you know, go back to some woods riding and that slippery and nasty, really got to stay on your toes and pick your lines, but also keep the speed up. And it's really hard to do. Like, those are some tough conditions. It looked like it was really sticky, but also very slippery in spots.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. It was like you thought you could go out and rail these good looking ruts, but as soon as you would stick your front tire in, it would just blow right out. And it was such a hard base from where we practiced and where they had built the track and where they did press day. And then it rained. It was a lot like Salt Lake City last year when it rained after, you know, practice and stuff, and just that hard base, but also everything on top where they had fluffed it up, just mush. So you really, really had to be on your toes for that one.
Hey, Aaron, your journey to get here, where you're at right now, and that Red Bull team, Red Bull KTM team sticking behind you. I mean, you, you know, you had an epic 250 career, a lot of success. I mean, dominant. And, you know, it was a rough patch for sure. I mean, I have no problem talking about it if you don't want to talk about it. It's, you know, and I just want our viewers and listeners to understand just where you were at in those days. I mean, I felt for it, but I always believed in you. I'm like, dude, I would always say, I'm like, if he could just get some good races under his belt, he knows how to win. If he can get that feeling again, mentally, I mean, but when you went to Red Bull KTM and now where you're at, like, walk us through the journey, like just briefly, of if you ever thought that you could get back here to where you're at now, like you're the dude.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, it was really, really tough. Especially in 2019, because, you know, 2019 is when I shattered my heel, and I was coming off of the 250 championship, and I was going into 450, and it was kind of a surprise that I did go to 450. But I was ready for it either way. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come in and, you know, everybody was struggling with the bike there, and I was like,
you know, I'm going to turn this thing around. It's going to be awesome. And I just had the mindset that I was going to go in there and really get things going. And then once things almost started to turn around, they took a turn for the worse, and I shattered my heel, and it kind of, I was still in a good mindset, because I was still training and doing everything. And it was like one day my heel wasn't healed just enough. And I was already mountain biking and road biking and stuff. And I went back to the doctor, and he put me in a soft cast and told me that, you know, I had 4 more weeks to just do nothing. And that's when I was actually on the way to mountain bike at the time. And that's when it kind of hit me in the face. And I struggled with that a lot. I think I went back home and sat for like 5 hours outside on my back deck and just didn't really know what to do. And that was probably the toughest part, but you know, I kind of just pushed through, and I didn't really think of it as, I mean, I definitely thought of it as a setback, but I was also like, what else do I have to do? You know, what else am I going to do other than, you know, get myself back into shape, keep myself healthy, and just when the time comes, get back on the bike. And you know, I did that, and I got back to racing. It wasn't pretty at first, but you know, 2 more years or a year and a half with Factory Yamaha, and then Star bought out Yamaha, and I turned it around there and got some really, really good results. I got my first 450 podium, and then you know, Red Bull KTM recognized that, and I signed with them, and then again it was kind of like a guinea pig period of they were coming out with a new bike, and I was like, dude, this thing is going to be sick and everything's going to be awesome. And I went in with the mindset, you know, we're going to freaking win this thing. And then, you know, we struggled like every team does with new bikes, and it's explainable and understandable, but you know, it's just really cool to see where we were struggling and how they went about it. You know, it didn't happen, you know, in the snap of a finger, but it also, when it did happen, I mean, you guys are seeing it now, it's turned around completely, and they worked their butts off to do it, and to be here now, you know, I didn't think I was going to be back to this spot in 2019 when I was sitting on my, when I was sitting on my couch with my heel, you know, sky high, and it feels really, really good to know that I didn't stop in that particular time, and I kept pushing on. So it's a good feeling for sure.
Yeah, no, totally, man. The feet, you know, I mean, I didn't break my heels, but you know, did my leg, and it's a long time to sit on the couch and just, you know, have all those thoughts and, you know, things running to through your head and wanting to get back out there, but you can't. But yeah, nonetheless, it's good to see you, you know, back up front in a field like we have today too. You know, like that's the other thing. Like, man, there's so many factory motorcycles on the line right now. I mean, literally the top 10, I mean, you probably go back to 12, 13 ish that we got factory motorcycles out there, and the field is absolutely stacked. And man, you're sitting there with the red plate, just knocked down your first win. So it's all looking up for the cowboy.
Yeah, man. It like I said, it feels awesome. And I didn't even know that I got the red plate until I think Will told me on the track right there. And I was like, dude, no way. I was like, no way.
Well, and, you sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just going to say it feels awesome. I mean,
obviously. You deserve it, dude. You deserve it. You earned it. We talked about it on the broadcast, JP. It's like, this is the best start that you've ever had in the 450. And, dude, like, enjoy that thing. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm gonna try to keep it as long as I can. You know, the last time I got a red plate, I didn't lose it. So hopefully we can continue that trend and you know, as good as it felt or as good as it feels to have won that race, I think, you know, my body and my brain is telling me that the job's not done yet, and it's still a lot of races. And I think I'm going to be one of the heavy hitters when it comes down to the end of it.
Hey, you've built a hell of a culture and a brand for yourself, and tell us, and the fans watching and listening to this, like what it's been like and the reaction from your win. And what you've seen from the support, even from your peers, the guys that you race again week in and week out, like walk us through that, dude. Tell us about it,
man. I mean, when I come off the track right there, it's so cool to, you know, I've raced these guys, a lot of them, up through amateurs and everything, and I've watched these guys on TV and everything growing up, and it's cool. It feels so cool to see them appreciate me like I've appreciated them in the past. And, you know, I've been so stoked for all of these guys on the track at one time. You know, I remember texting AC when he won his championship, and I remember, you know, being with Coop when he won two or three of his championships, and it's just cool to see them, you know, recognize me and see them appreciate me like I've appreciated them. And it's cool to see everything come around, and I appreciate them appreciating me.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, look, you everybody would have loved to see it, I'm sure, yourself to win right out of the gate, but, you know, to win almost 4 years into 450, you know, it's that much sweeter when you have to wait this long, I'm sure, you know. And it's really cool, like you said, to see all those guys. Kenny's got wins. Adam's got some wins. You know, Eli, all of those guys have wins. And you're like one of those guys that, you know, was right there. But finally, now you have it. And you're in that group of winners now. And I think that sports kind of changed, too. Like, you know, I don't think – back in my day or Ricky's day, you'd see everybody hanging out there on the starting line waiting for AP to come off.
Dude, there ain't no shot.
You know, so, and I like that. I like that the sport is changing and everybody, like you said, is appreciating the effort that goes in from all aspects. And to see a fellow competitor that's been at it for this long, and have had a win elude you for last year at Detroit, you know, and to get out there and see it, it's kind of, I always say it's kind of like the wakeboard, the ski snowboard, that type of mentality. Now we're seeing a little bit more of that, where people are more friends and it's not so isolated and you don't feel so alone, right? It's really cool. Yep. To see that everybody, you know, coming off and congratulating you.
Yeah. It feels good. And it does feel like it's leaning towards that snowboard ski kind of thing when
mountain bike vibe.
Yeah. You do a trick or you come down the hill fast. Everybody's stoked. They're like stoked to see you do that trick or do whatever, because it's unreal. And you got a God given talent that not everybody has. So yeah, it's cool to see the sport kind of leaning in that direction.
Hey, tell us, our producer, Aaron, he wants to know the particular dance move that this was. You had a ton of them in the 250s.
Because Aaron Plessinger doesn't have to think or wish he's won a 450 main. He is a 450 main winner.
It started as bull riding, and then it went into a little bit of hip thrusting and some squatting there, and that'd be much appreciated around Texas, Oklahoma area. So.
Oh yeah.
So I'm not sure you come up with a name with that for that dance move, but I'm not sure there is one yet.
Hey,
I'm sure there's going to be a meme running around Instagram here shortly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to you getting some more. It's always fun. You do a heck of a job. We appreciate you, just how raw and real you are. And I'm sure I'm speaking for every fan in Super Motocross dude, you're raw, you're real. And it's been cool what you've been able to do, dude. It sure has.
It's exactly what the sport needs, you know. You know, looking back at myself living inside a box, Dunge living inside of a box, you know.
Me, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's good to have, you know, we need more of that. So keep it up, AP. I really enjoy it. You are the best interviewer, or give the best interviews. You know, especially when you're standing on top of the box, there's nothing better.
Man, well, coming from you guys, I really appreciate that. That means a lot. And yeah, I'm gonna give it my best and try to extend these podium interviews, hopefully up on top of the box. But I'm gonna try to do it again this weekend at the Triple Crown, baby.
All right. Do you like the Triple Crown?
When I get good starts, yeah. Yeah, it's a great time. But
what did I say, RC? What did I say on the show?
Yeah, you're right. RV's right, dude. He's right.
I said that's what I said, AP. I said AP's in the hunt here, and I said the only thing he really needs to do is put himself inside the top five every gate drop. And if he can put himself inside the top five, he's got a chance to podium, if not win this thing, and stay in it for the long haul.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely do, and it's showing now. And A1 was definitely my fault. I should have been on the podium there, but I spun off the gate in San Francisco, and then this weekend I made sure I got up there, and I was in the mix in the first couple laps. But now I got my starts dialed, but just gotta, like I was telling everybody after A1, I just got to figure out how to go around the first corner again.
That's right. Hey, congratulations on what is hopefully the first of many wins and perhaps a championship. Thanks for joining RV and I here on Title 24. It's an honor to have you here. We appreciate you giving us the time, brother. We're happy for you. For sure. And we want to keep seeing you do what you know how to do. You know how to do. So congratulations again, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate you, boys. Thanks for having me on. It's always a good time. I'm gonna try to be back sooner than later.
All right, brother. So incredible to have that guy. Dude, you know what we should have done, RV? And I completely forgot we'd text him. We should invite him to the live show, dude, on Thursday.
Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah, bring him up on stage, get a little more info, talk about this Triple Crown coming up. Yeah, it should be real good.
Yeah, so for those of you guys that haven't been tuning in to our social medias and all that, we're doing the first ever Title 24 live show this Thursday before Anaheim. RV has some details. I am super pumped for it. We're going to be having some good times. You will not be disappointed. But RV, give our viewers and listeners the details.
Yeah, man. So we're just on the other side of John Wayne Airport Thursday night. I believe it starts at 6 o'clock. We're going to have some food. We're going to have drinks. We got a DJ and we'll have myself and you, Ricky, up there. We're going to get some pre-race talk in about the Triple Crown. You know, we're going to do a lot of speculating, bench racing coming into Anaheim too. So I'm looking forward to it. Like you said, it is our first live show. So don't miss out. I think this one's going to be intimate. It's going to be what the fans, you know, what you guys want to see, what you want to hear, we'll have some championship bikes on hand, and, ultimately we're just gonna have a good time, and you'll be able to access myself and Ricky on a, like I said, on a very low key level, and where we can really, you know, open up and have talks and conversations with you guys, that you probably wouldn't have anywhere else other than live at the Title 24 show.
100%. I can't wait for it. Probably have a couple beverages, so that'll always be nice and get us loose and talking. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like RV said, vintage and championship bikes will be there. We got a DJ, food, cocktails, all that fun stuff, and just talking about stories. Whatever you want to ask us, we're going to be happy to entertain you guys and probably share some light on some fun stories that you guys had never heard of or that we've never had an opportunity to talk about, and really just give back to you guys. And because without you guys and the support and all the viewership and listeners, Title 24 wouldn't have been as a success as it has been. Damon Bradshaw, he was one of my heroes. Look at Richie Lane, the guy that is basically putting all this together. He's got DB coming, so that will be awesome.
Yep, I just talked to the Beast from the East, and he's coming in. We'll probably get him up out of the spectators area. We'll bring him up on stage and probably add him into the show for a little bit. That'll be a good time. Good buddies with Damon, and he's always fun to hang out with.
I can't wait. That's going to be good. So we'll have all the details. We'll be pumping it out on our social media sites, not only myself and Ryan's Instagram and Twitter or X, whatever it is, also on the Title 24. So look forward to seeing you guys. Make sure you get on it because the seats are going pretty quick here. We've got a lot of traction in the last couple of days, so they're flying by. You will not be disappointed. Rolling on, so after the live show, Anaheim this weekend, Triple Crown RV. I love the Triple Crown. We talked about it earlier in the show. Aaron, roll that track map.
First thing that I see, well, you got the tunnel. A lot of stuff happening right here. A lot of short shoots, a lot of tight sections. When it's tight sections like that, I feel like it's hard for a lot of guys to get away. I like the faster start sections also across when they go across the start straight, cut back across the start straight. Those short shoots, I call them shorter sections, are going to be really, really tough.
I mean, I was just watching, you know, coming up from underneath the tunnel there. You were making a point of saying those really tight, some very short sections there.
Right.
That's going to be tough to pass. Track looks big. I think we're going to have a little bit longer lap times this weekend. I always love when they add the tunnel in because it definitely extends the track. You don't get into lappers as quick. And I think you actually almost get probably two extra lanes when you add the tunnel in. So stoked to see that. Dirtworks is going to do a great job with this build.
Good stuff. All right. That's a heck of a show. One of our best ones so far. I know we only got four in the can this season, but Aaron, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate the first time winner. It's going to be exciting to see his journey this season, RV. I will see you on Thursday and all of our fans at the live show. And before we get going, like always, we got to thank Boxo USA, United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, and of course Dunlop Tires for coming along with the ride. Remember, you can always watch us on Peacock for On Demand, and of course Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page, and then we're on all of the iPod applications, so wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're on all of those. So we appreciate all the support here, and we'll see you guys Thursday.